In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Moses writes in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his just decrees, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen. I'd like to begin this sermon with a little word association. So grab a pencil, a pen if you have one, in the pews, backs in front of you, there are pencils. You can write down on your bulletin if you wish. I want you, when I say a word, to write down the first thing that comes to your mind. Ready? Okay. Law. What comes to your mind? Law. I'm not asking for responses yet. Next word. Police.
Chaplain.
Now, with the word law, if you wrote down good, or something like that. Raise your hand. One hand. Wonderful, Janelle. Gospel. Well, okay, good. A couple maybes, but pretty low view of the law here, huh? It's negative, right? Police. Who wrote down friends? Helpers. Nobody. Oh, faith. Good. Last Monday morning, I called the police on a man. I was at Walgreens, and there in front of me at the counter, I was over at the side of the photo department, there was an elderly man in front of me. He was trying to use Western Union to send money. And the clerk from behind the counter was helping him because he got to go on the computer screen and do this and that. It can get a little complicated. He was a little frustrated. She helped him out. And then he goes in front of me at the counter. He's going to count out his money and pay her what he's going to send. $2,600. He's counting out the hundreds. He's counting out the money. And he ends up $10 short. So can't send it. Doesn't have enough. And he starts getting frustrated. Well, can't you do something? How about can I just charge it? And the clerk says, well, I'm sorry, you can't do that. You're sending cash. If you have a debit card, you can do that. But I don't have a debit card. I need to send this money. And he's getting all upset. He says, my son's in jail. I need to bail him out. And I said, hold on, sir. I said, there's a scam going around about this. Are you sure? Yes, I spoke to a lawyer in New York. And I spoke to my son. He needs the money to get out of jail. And I said, you spoke to your son. Are you sure? Was it his voice? Yes, I recognized him. It's my son. And so finally, I settled him down. I said, where do you live? And he lived nearby. I said, okay, look, go home, get $10 more and come back. They've got all the info. You can then send it. So he left and I called the Norwalk Police Department and they sent an officer out. And the officer spent time with the man. It was difficult to get him to pay attention, to understand. But while he's talking with the man, he got the info, and dispatch was able to get a hold of the man's son, who was perfectly fine, was not in jail. It was a scam. And that good officer saved that man $2,600. How you view the law and those who represent it and bring it shapes how you respond to it. Today's scriptures speak of God's law. Moses in Deuteronomy calls it life and good. And in Matthew 5, Jesus teaches it, God's Ten Commandments. And he begins by referring to the opinions of others about it. And after mentioning that, he says, "But I say to you, I say, God's law," Christ says, "is his law." Keep this in mind, that God's word, his commandments, are also Christ's. He taught them. He followed them. When you keep this in mind, this will help you to see them all as good. Because the attitude toward laws, even God's laws, often, it's not only not good, we just saw that ourselves. The attitude often is, "But I say, I say, I interpret the law. It's subordinate to my situation, to my circumstances." The Jewish teachers in Jesus' day reflected that. They had diverse opinions regarding marriage and divorce, for instance. One group of Pharisees said a man could divorce his wife for almost any reason, as long as he followed the appropriate steps. And another group of Pharisees said, "Oh, no, very specific, it has to be very few, like adultery." But they all agreed that as long as the appropriate steps were followed, as long as the established procedure, then you could get your certificate of divorce. God was okay with it. It was not sin. Today, of course, we are far more permissive. Jesus' words, "But I say to you," hey, we like those words. Yes, I say. So marriage is mine. It's mine to enter if I wish or not. It's mine to enter into with whoever I wish. And it's also mine to end if I wish. I say. This attitude has prompted our society and even many Christian churches to treat marriage and divorce, many other laws of God also, kind of like a rubber nose. You can bend it and shape it any which way you wish. And Jesus is claimed for support of this view. "But I say to you." Jesus says this because he is the authority on God's law. He knows precisely what it means and how it applies. And notice how he uses his authority, not to weaken it, but to strengthen it. "I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Jesus focuses on the heart because that is where obedience begins, and also disobedience. And Moses also teaches this. "If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God." Love Moses says, Jesus says, Scripture says, love is the fulfillment of the law. For God in his love gave us the law, gospel. Love doesn't want less. It wants more. And so does the God of love. How much does God want? How much does he want of you? How carefully does God expect you to obey his commandments? If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Jesus says hell is the destiny for the disobedient. And God does not want that. Not for you, not for any of his children that he has made. And so Jesus calls you to take God's commands seriously. So seriously that you would cut off and throw away anything that got in the way. As if your life depended on his words. Because your life does depend on them. And so Jesus says, tear out and throw away anything that keeps you from fully obeying God. An eye, a limb, a hand, a thought. Yes, even thoughts. Because after all, it's not your hand that causes sin. It only does what the mind tells it to do. It's not your eye. It's your mind that tells your eye where to focus. And so our very thoughts and desires must be holy in line with God's commands. I suppose then that to keep from sinning, we need to cut off our heads. This is how seriously God takes his law. His law is love, and love is that serious. Love calls for love, for complete and total commitment. And every one of us fails to give God that commitment, that love. Do you think that Jesus gained the support of the Jewish leaders when he told them that regarding marriage and divorce, they're not only wrong, they're all adulterers? They became enraged. Do you think Jesus gained more followers when he told them that they were to gouge out their eyes and throw away their hands if this would help them to follow God? Many turned away. Jesus put obedience to God and the right understanding of his commandments ahead of his own good, as we all should do. He did fully and completely what is expected, what is demanded of us. Why? You know, you might wonder, did Jesus pluck out an eye and throw it away? No, he didn't. But he closed his eyes in death. Did he cut off a hand? No. But he raised his hands that they might be nailed to a cross. And why? He tells us, I did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many, his life in place of ours. His disciple Peter, in his first letter, chapter 2, says, "He bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." And the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, "In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. For our sake, God made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This is the greatness, the intensity of God's love for you. To love you, even in your sin. And then to bear it, to take it on himself in your place. And to take its consequences, that you might be free. Jesus bore your sins to heal you, that your destiny might not be hell, the place of eternal sickness and death, but heaven, the place of eternal life and healing and wholeness and peace. He bore your sins so that you living here might not bear them in your heart and have their guilt weigh you down and keep you from loving God and thinking that you just can't live for him here and now. You fail. He has done it for you. Embrace this intense love of Jesus for you. His love for his heavenly Father on your behalf. And he promises that he will fill you with his love and with his Father's intense love. Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him." Your Lord, living in your heart, dwelling in and guiding your mind, he will help you to see his law as good, as love. And with this foremost in your mind and heart, your Savior will lead you then in doing works of love and obedience, as Moses urges. Choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, the land of heaven, yours, through the love of him who laid down his life for you. Amen.